Dwight D. Eisenhower, the 34th President of the United States, he served in the 1950s for this country, said this in regards to character in leadership. He said, "Character in many ways is everything in leadership. It is made up of many things, but I would say character is really integrity." We live in a society, the world the way it is, where morals and right standards are eroding day by day. Not only in society, but especially in leadership in the nation. Unfortunately, lying, cheating, and corruption have increasingly become a problem among many of our leaders. And this has a definite effect on the public in general, the people that they are leading. Now we, all of us, have been called as Christians and leaders of God's way of life to live a different life from the rest of the world. It is a world that is going in the wrong direction. In fact, we're seeing and witnessing a lack of moral direction that is becoming quite alarming. It seems that this world is getting worse in respect to moral conduct. Moral conduct and integrity are becoming more and more distant in the world today. Speaking of integrity, I did a little research on the internet, and I came across a quote from an article from Inc.com written by Jessica Tillman. And she says this, "One study showed that 60% of people can't make it through a 10-minute conversation without lying. In fact, those who lied averaged an impressive 3 fibs or lies in just that short time, a 10-minute time span." And she goes on to say, and that's not even mentioning politics or online dating, apparently where there's a lot more lying that goes on. Please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 19 to begin the sermon today. Proverbs chapter 19, and we're going to read verse number 1. God's word in the Bible has a lot to say about integrity. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 1. We're going to read one of these contrast verses where it's showing a contrast within the verse. Proverbs 19, verse number 1, we read, "Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool." So many lie, cheat, and steal in order to increase their wealth. This proverb states that it is better to be poor and keep your integrity. Perversity of the lips in lying, as we read here, is another blast to integrity of character. Today's English version of verse number 1 reads like this, "It is better to be poor but honest than to be a lying fool." Dwight D. Eisenhower, as I stated earlier, said that integrity is everything in leadership. And as future leaders in the kingdom that we have called to be, our integrity is so important as part of our character development. The title of today's sermon is The Importance of Integrity in Leadership Positions. The Importance of Integrity in Leadership Positions. Today, let's examine the importance of building a life of integrity as future leaders in the kingdom of God. Integrity is a way of life, and we as disciples need to develop it as part of our character development. You know, unfortunately, as we look around at the leadership in our country and around the whole world, there are too many examples of individuals who try to get ahead by any means. to impress others. And that includes cheating, lying, and stealing from others. Integrity, unfortunately, is becoming a lost term in today's world. God expects His disciples, however, the ones who will be serving, helping, and assisting Christ in the kingdom of God, to walk in an upright way, as Christ did in His life, so that we can serve alongside Him. I'm not going to turn there, but we know the scripture, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10, where it says, "And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth." And Christ will have leaders who have proven to live in integrity, serving with Him in the kingdom. Let's go back to verse number 1 here of Proverbs 19. And notice this phrase, walks in His integrity. Walks in His integrity. Walk is a metaphor for one's conduct. One's conduct, the way one lives, the integrity of it. And it's a habitual manner of life. As the proverb explains, integrity is better than wealth, which is a stumbling block for so many in this world, especially leaders, because they are willing to compromise their integrity for wealth, and they'll use any means to gain that. I'd like to take a few moments and define our word integrity, our English word integrity. First of all, I want to give you a short definition from Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, and it reads like this. Integrity is a firm adherence to a code of moral values. Let me repeat that. Integrity is a firm adherence to a code of moral values. Here are some of the synonyms to the word integrity found in Rogge's Thesaurus. Synonyms of integrity are honesty, uprightness, and moral soundness, amongst others. Now I'd like to compare that, the dictionary definition and those synonyms, with a definition of the Hebrew word tom, which is translated to our English in integrity, from the International Bible Encyclopedia. The International Bible Encyclopedia says this about the Hebrew word tom, our English word integrity. The basic meaning of integrity is soundness of character and adherence to moral principle, i.e., uprightness and honesty. So we see the definition of the Hebrew word of integrity, the Bible definition, is equal to the dictionary definition. It has to do with adhering to moral principles, uprightness, and honesty. To put it simply, following God, God's way of life, and His commandments. That's what integrity is. I'd also like to read you a comment from the Aid to Bible Understanding about this Hebrew word tom, our English word integrity. The Aid to Bible Understanding says this. The Hebrew word term, tom, describes moral soundness and completeness, one's being blameless and faultless. Integrity requires uncompromising loyalty to God and adherence to righteousness, not merely under favorable conditions and circumstances, but under all conditions and at all times. Uncompromising loyalty to God and adherence to righteousness. And what is righteousness? Psalm 119, verse 172, all your commandments are righteousness, God's way of life. Going back to verse number 1 again, we see this word perverse in the last part of verse 19, describing those who are perverse in their lips, lying lips. That goes back to the Garden of Eden, when the very first lie was told or recorded in the Bible. And that has been a problem for mankind ever since, along with other problems that we have because of our human nature and following Satan's way, the way of darkness, instead of God's way, the way of light. So perverse or twisted. And unfortunately, our leaders have fallen under and are part of that category. I'd like to give you one more definition here, another added dimension of the word integrity. And this I found in the theological word book of the Old Testament about this Hebrew word tome, our English word integrity. It says this: there are scriptures where it means completeness of heart devotion. Completeness of heart devotion. In other words, complete devotion to God from the heart. And this is an added aspect of integrity. And you know, we can look in our Bibles and we can find a leader, a king of Israel, who was defined like that, a complete devotion to God from the heart. And I'm talking about King David. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 9. 1 Kings chapter 9. And we'll read verses 1 through 7. King David was an example of complete devotion to God from the heart. Now this section of scripture in 1 Kings chapter 9 is right after Solomon had built the temple in Jerusalem, and he had dedicated it and given a prayer in dedication to God for the temple. And then we come here to 1 Kings chapter 9, and God approaches Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 9, and we'll begin reading at verse number 1. Again, God appears to Solomon after he'd completed the temple, and he gives him an admonition and a warning. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse number 1. And it came to pass, when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord, the temple, and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire which he wanted to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared to him in Gibeon. And the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me in the dedication of the temple. I have consecrated this house which you have built to my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. So God was telling Solomon that the prayer of dedication had been given, the temple had been built, and now my heart and my eyes will be there perpetually, he says. Now we come to verse number 4, where he gives Solomon admonition. Now, if, he's saying to Solomon, if you walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, as I promised David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. Now we come to verse number 6 and 7, where he gives Solomon a warning. But if you or your sons at all turn from following me, and do not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, verse 7, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and this house which I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight. Israel will be a proverb and a byword among all the peoples for disobedience and falling away from God. So he received an admonition and a warning. Now let's go back to verse number 4, where this admonition was given to Solomon. And he said, if you walk before me as your father David walked. David had been king over all Israel. He was the leader of the nation. And of course, Bible prophecy tells us that he will be reigning over Israel in the kingdom of God. The phrase, walk before me, describes the conduct in the presence of God and his law. And that's the way that David walked. And he told Solomon, as your father David walked. That's the way Solomon should walk. Was a measuring stick for Solomon and all future kings in Judah. So God admonished Solomon as the king of Israel to follow the example of his father David, his walk. And his walk is described as integrity of heart, uprightness, and he followed what God had commanded. Now we all know David was a man who sinned. He committed several wrongs. But he walked with integrity of heart, God says. Why did God say he walked with integrity of heart? The reason why is because he accepted reproof and he repented. Psalm 51 is a testimony of David's heartfelt repentance upon sinning. David sinned, but he was trying to do God's will. I'd like a comment from the Nelson Study Bible about this section of Scripture. It says this: what God saw in David was a deep desire to do his will. Throughout David's life, that drive never changed. Unlike King Saul, who was a self-willed man, David confessed his sins and quickly repented of them. And even though David sinned and made mistakes, his character was strong enough to repent. And that character is why David was chosen to be king, and why God said that he walked with integrity of heart. And integrity of heart, wholehearted worship of God, is how we should be walking. Let's go to Psalm chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78. And we'll read. We're going to concentrate on verses 70 through 72. Psalm 78 is a brief history of Israel. And the section at the end of the chapter describes God selecting Jerusalem as the place of the sanctuary, and also God selecting David as its king. Psalm 78, and as I said, we're going to concentrate on verses 70 through 72, but let's pick it up in verse 67. Psalm 78, verse 67, where God makes it plain that he's choosing Jerusalem as the place of the sanctuary. Verse 67, moreover, he rejected the tent of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, which was the largest and leading tribe of Israel. Verse 68, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. Mount Zion referring to Jerusalem. Verse 69, and he built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth, which he has established forever. And then verse number 70. He also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. And of course, we know the story of David, that he was a shepherd and he guided and led the sheep. He took him from the sheepfolds, verse 71, from following the ewes that had young, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. And that word, to shepherd Israel, means to guide them, to lead them. In other words, to be their king, their leader. Now this shepherd eventually points to Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Continuing on now, the last part of verse 71, to shepherd Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. Verse 72, so he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Notice it says here the description of how David guided the nation. By integrity of heart. And that integrity of heart led to the skillfulness of his hands, being guided by God as he walked with him, to govern the people, to shepherd and lead them. And again, integrity of his heart. Barnes and Oates adds this: according to the perfection of his heart means that he was upright and pure in the administration of his government. Boy, do we need that today. But it's coming. It's going to be coming when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. The good shepherd, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. David ruled not for his own, but for the people's good. And David was a good example of devotion to God from the heart. And a good lesson, an example for all of us as disciples. Let's turn a few pages forward to Psalm chapter 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm chapter 119, and we'll read verses 1 through 3. Again, talking about this wholeness of the heart, integrity of heart in our walk with God. Psalm chapter 119, beginning in verse number 1. Psalm 119, verse 1, starts with this word, blessed. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Their conduct, their walk, is guided by God's law. And they are blessed for it. And we can say, blessed physically speaking, but more importantly, blessed spiritually speaking. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Verse number 2. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies. And notice this. Who seek him with the whole heart. And again, that's an aspect of integrity. Seeking God with the whole heart. And that's what leaders do. That's what King David did in the administration of his government. And that's what we need to be doing as well. We can ask God for that type of heart as we come before him in prayer. Help me to have the heart of integrity, the whole heart to seek you with all of my heart. Verse number 3, they, which is referring to the blessed ones, they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. And the psalmist here is delighted that those who live their lives in obedience to the law are blessed. And for a disciple, a servant of the Lord, integrity is a way of life. Constantly searching to know and follow God's will, seeking him with the whole heart. Integrity is a vital part of leadership. God wants the rulers and leaders of his people to have good character. It was important for ancient Israel to have that kind of leader. And in the future, future rulers in the kingdom will be people of proven good character. I want to go back now to Exodus chapter 18 because there's an interesting story here. Remember, we went through this in the Bible study series covering the book of Exodus. But in Exodus chapter 18, we find that Moses' father-in-law had come to the camp in Israel. And his name is Jethro. And he noticed that Moses took too much upon himself. And he was afraid that Moses was going to wear himself out. And so he gave Moses some good advice here in this section of Scripture. Exodus chapter 18. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 12. Again, this has to do with Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, who came to Israel's camp. Exodus 18, verse number 12. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and other sacrifices to offer to God. In other words, he came to worship God. And Aaron came with the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. Verse 13. And so it was on the next day that Moses set to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. And you know, you can read over that verse there, number 13, and really not get the significance of what was going on here. Remember, Moses had led the children of Israel out of their slavery in Egypt. Something like 2 million people that he was responsible for on a daily basis, of course, with God's guidance and help. But he was the main administrator and the leader taking care of things for those 2 million people. And here in verse 13, we see that they were coming before him all day long with problems, probably complaints. We know that the Israelites like to complain and murmur. And he had to stand before them all day long, judging and guiding and helping these people. And his father-in-law was noticing this, and he realized Moses has a lot of responsibility upon him. He needs help. And that's what's built the build-up of this story. Verse 14. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit, and all the people stand before you from morning until evening? It was a lot of load on Moses' shoulder. And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. He'd been their leader all along, and so they naturally came to him. And Moses said to his father, because the people come to me, inquire of God. Verse 16, when they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws. He was teaching the people, judging them, and serving them. Verse 17, so Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. For this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. And of course, God was inspiring this speech that Jethro was going to make to Moses here. Verse 19. Now, listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Here's the counsel. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the law, like he had been doing, and show them the way in which they must walk, and the work they must do, teaching them and guiding them on how they should walk. And then look at this advice in verse 21. Moreover, Jethro said, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And as you continue reading through the story, you see that Moses adhered to Jethro's advice. And he did appoint these able men to be rulers of thousands, hundreds, and tens. It took a lot off of his shoulders in doing that. But what I want to do now is to take a look at verse 21. At these qualities here. Because these are qualities of good character. To be leaders in Israel. And they're good qualities for us as leaders as well. Notice the phrase, able men. Able men. That means competent. Competent to make wise decisions. It also means having strength and efficiency. Strength and character. Strong character, in other words. Also, fear God is one of the character traits. Fear God in obedience, which is what God expects to be following his commandments. And also, humility is a part of fearing God. To serve, not being served, like Jesus Christ set the example. Also, men of truth. Truth is a description of God's character. And that's so vital in leadership positions. Truth is vital to be a ruler or a king. Because if a leader is not truthful, you can't trust him. We look around at our government today, some of the things that are being said and done, we don't trust them. Because they aren't truthful in what they say. Also, another character quality, haters of covetousness. That means being unselfish and honest. And not being bribed, which was rampant in the ancient world. We talked about that in the last Bible study in Isaiah chapter 5. One of the woes on Israel was leaders taking bribes. So these are some good quality, character qualities here that Moses was instructed to put men in charge in Israel, leaders, to help him to be able to help the people of Israel. And we can ask God to help us develop these qualities so that we can serve him better. Take a study on these. Think about them and meditate on them. They're good qualities of leaders. Let's go to Psalm chapter 15. Psalm chapter 15. This is a short chapter. Verses 1 through 5. We'll read all 5 verses. And this describes those who are worthy to worship at the sanctuary. Psalm chapter 15. You'll notice if your Bible has a title in this particular psalm. It says a psalm of David. And we already saw in 1 Kings chapter 9 that David walked in integrity, a wholehearted walk to follow God. And this is a psalm of who are worthy to worship God at the sanctuary. Psalm chapter 15, verse number 1. Two questions. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? And of course, the tabernacle was where God's presence was. Another question. Who may dwell in your holy hill? So a couple questions by David. Who can be in God's presence, in other words? The answer we find in verses 2 through 5. Here's the answer. Verse 2. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. A person of integrity. Continuing on, verse number 3. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. In other words, loving one's neighbor. Verse number 4, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears on his own hurt and does not change. So we see here some of the character qualities of those who can be in God's presence, walking uprightly, working righteousness, speaking the truth, loving their neighbor, and honoring and fearing God. Now, the last part of verse number 4 here is a little bit difficult in our English versions, where it says, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. The New International Version translates this last part of verse 4 like this. He who keeps his oath even when it hurts. In other words, one who keeps his promises. You make a promise and keep it. Another aspect of integrity. Continuing on in verse number 5. He who does not put out his money at usury. Usury is talking about interest. And somebody who would charge an abnormal amount of interest collecting from his brother. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. And that's not just a part of our world today. That went on in the ancient world as well. And people suffered for that. Then finally, the last part of verse number 5. He who does these things shall never be moved. That has these character qualities as a part of their walk. Shall never be moved. Their foundation, their spiritual foundation is set. And it won't be moved. One who serves the Lord in his presence does not take advantage of others, does not take bribes, walks in uprightness. And what is written in this psalm, there are many character traits to follow as part of our spiritual foundation to build a walk for integrity. Another section of scripture that we can study and meditate upon in developing our walk before God. A heart that follows God. I'd like to go to the New Testament now and take a look at the book of Mark, talking about a sincere heart, approaching God in deeds and worship. And in Mark chapter 7, this is the section of scripture where the Pharisees were condemning Christ's disciples because they were not washing according to the tradition of the elders. You know, they had this tradition, they had to wash in a certain way before they partook of food, etc. And the disciples were not doing that. That's not to say that the disciples were unclean or not washing their hands before eating. They just were not doing it in the tradition of the Pharisees. And they were condemning Christ's disciples for that. Mark chapter 7, and let's pick it up in verse number 5. Mark chapter 7, and verse number 5. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked Christ, Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And they were referring to the traditional way that they washed their hands. And Christ answered in verse 6 and said to them, quoting the book of Isaiah, Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written? And this is from Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. This people honors me with their lips. Lip service, in other words. But their heart is far from me. Not worshiping from the heart is the point that Christ was making. Verse 7, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And one of the commandments that they were teaching was there's a certain way to wash their selves and cups and pitchers and etc. And Christ was saying, that's not worshiping from the heart. Notice this word hypocrite here in the beginning of verse number 6, that Christ called them hypocrites. This was taken from the first century A.D., from the Roman and Greek actors. You know, the Romans and the Greeks, they like to put on their plays for the people and such as that. And they had their actors, similar like we have today, you know, plays, etc. And this word hypocrite was only used by Christ in the Gospels. And this means one who answers in a set dialogue, a dialogue of an actor. So this word hypocrite was talking about a play actor, play acting and pretense. And that was what he was saying to the Pharisees in the way that they were worshiping. He called them a hypocrite. But he said, their heart is far from me. And that's a chilling description from Christ to recognize if one's heart is far away from him. And that's something that we can examine ourselves. You know, we're only a couple months away from the Passover, and we should begin to be thinking about examining ourselves before we partake of those precious symbols of Christ's sacrifice. You know, am I play acting in religion? Or is my heart one of truly worshiping God? I'd like a comment from William Barclay regarding this scripture. He says, one whose whole life is a piece of acting without any sincerity behind it at all is a hypocrite. People who are acting out religion with no sincerity. And again, something that we can examine ourselves in our walk. How is our heart in worshiping our great God the way that it should be? Now let me ask a question as we move forward here in the sermon. How do we, you and I, develop and maintain integrity? A godly walk in our lives as disciples. Well, there's a simple answer to that. And that is, we have help to do that walk, to make that walk. And that is help from the Holy Spirit. God does not want us to fail. He wants us to walk according to a life of integrity. And the Holy Spirit can help us. We have that extra help from the Holy Spirit. It's our helper, our guider. It can help to guide us, not only in our time of need, but to help us to stay on the right path. The Holy Spirit makes not only overcoming possible, but to walk in integrity, building our relationship with our God, which is part of that walk. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. The Apostle Paul writing in this section about the Holy Spirit and writing to the brethren in Rome. Romans chapter 8, and let's read verse 26. Romans 8 and verse 26, the Apostle Paul says this, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. And we do have weaknesses and faults, and the Holy Spirit can help us and guide us and lead us. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. And you know, that happens quite often. You know, sometimes we think about, okay, I want to pray. And what do I want to pray for? And the Holy Spirit can help us to understand and know what we should be praying for. And one of the things that we can be praying for is, help me to walk like King David did, to walk with integrity, wholeness of heart, following an uprightness, following your scriptures and your word. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Nothing is too difficult. Obstacles or trials that we face when God's Holy Spirit is working with us and helping us. And we can ask God for that help. We can ask God to lead us, guide us, and to walk in integrity. Notice verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, and I'll add, in our walk, these are the sons of God, part of the family of God, and spiritually minded. And we can ask God to help us to walk in integrity. Please help us. Please help me by means of your Holy Spirit. Now as we go forward in conclusion to the rest of the sermon here, I want to take a look at a leader. And I thought about this, the many leaders that there were in the Bible that we could point to. But there's one individual that stood out in my mind that was very successful because he was right and followed God in obedience. And that is Joshua. Let's go to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32, the section that we're going to be looking at previously to verse number 10, is talking about, remember the spies that brought the bad report about that there were giants in the land and there was walled cities, etc. They brought back a bad report. And because of that, the people rebelled. And we pick it up here in Numbers chapter 32. And verse number 10. Numbers 32 and verse number 10. So the Lord's anger, verse number 10, was aroused on that day. And he swore an oath saying, verse 11, surely none of the men who came up from Egypt, from 20 years old and above, shall see the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. The rejection of those people that had come out of the slavery in Egypt that were not allowed to go into the promised land because they did not wholly follow God. Verse number 12, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, they were allowed to go into the promised land. And why? The last part of verse 12, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And Joshua was an excellent example of integrity. He and Caleb were the only spies that brought back a good report, even though it was not popular with the people. The people rejected their report. And yet, they were the only two out of all the people that came out of the land of Egypt that went into the promised land. And it says here in verse 12, Joshua and Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Or we could say, wholeheartedly followed the Lord. And the sense is in obedience and dedication. And there are just a few individuals in the Bible who have received that kind of praise. And Joshua was one of them. He was a man of faith. He was a leader. He followed God with all of his heart. You know, one of the greatest challenges in history, and I know I've said this before throughout history, one of the greatest challenges is replacing the leader of a nation. You know, in the history of Israel, especially Judah, there were good kings and there were bad kings. Mostly in Israel, there were bad kings. But replacing a leader is always difficult. We've even had that in our history. Well, we've had possibly a good leader and then not a good leader. Replacing a good leader is always a challenge in history. But not so in the transition of leadership after Moses died. When we consider that Moses led those 2 million people out of the slavery of Egypt, guided them throughout the desert, as we saw in Exodus chapter 18, stood before them all day long, judging them, guiding and leading them. And another leader was going to come along after him. And yet, there was no bumps in the road. It was a smooth transition from Moses to Joshua. And the reason why is because Joshua wholly followed the Lord. He was a man of integrity. And that's why there was a smooth transition. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 34. We're winding down now. Deuteronomy chapter 34. We went through this section in the Bible study series on Deuteronomy. finishing up the book of Deuteronomy, which talks about the death of Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 34. I'm going to concentrate on verse number 9, but let's pick it up in verse number 7. Deuteronomy 34, beginning in verse number 7. Moses, again, who had guided Israel for so many, many years. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. Verse number 8, and the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. A whole month of mourning over that great leader. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Then we come to verse number 9. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands on him. And notice this. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And that's an incredible statement. As much murmuring and complaining as the children of Israel were known for, they got right in line behind Joshua's leadership. Because they knew he was a man of integrity and how he followed God wholeheartedly. Whenever God spoke, Joshua listened to him and obeyed. And his obedience served as a model of faith, not only to Israel of ancient times, but as a model for us today. A life of integrity. He followed God wholeheartedly, and that's a mark of a godly leader. Finally, let's go to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. And we'll finish the sermon reading Proverbs 20 and verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 7. We're going to see this word walks here in the first part of verse number 1, which describes one's conduct, the way a person lives. Proverbs 20, verse number 7. The righteous man walks in his integrity, the way of life, the conduct. And notice the last part of verse number 7. His children are blessed after him. And I'll add, not only physically blessed, but more importantly, spiritually blessed as well. It is so important for us as disciples to walk in integrity. And again, we have help to do that. And we can ask for that help so that we can fulfill that walk. So let's continue to grow in character, asking God's help by means of His Holy Spirit to grow in integrity, so that we, you and I, can be faithful leaders, helpers, and servers to serve Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God.